Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady in the NFC title game. Can Rodgers be considered one of the GOATs of the game with only one Super Bowl ring? And that came 10 years ago. Would a Bucs Super Bowl rate as the greatest year by any Tampa Bay team of all time? We'll also break down the AFC championship game between the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. We've got all that and more to discuss with Tom Jones, my former radio partner, longtime columnist of the Tampa Bay Times, on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Hey, you know who's got the best party platters for your catering in Tampa Bay? Well, that's easy. It's Mr. Empanada. What the heck's an empanada? Well, you just take your favorite foods, you place them inside a pocket of homemade dough that is cooked perfectly until it's golden brown and piping hot. Their empanadas are a fresh twist on some old favorites. Now, you can order delicious menu items now made from scratch, including soups and salads and Cuban sandwiches, online at MrEmpanada.com or call any one of their 7 convenient locations in Tampa Bay. Where Latin food quality and service meet, it's Mr. Empanada. Okay, Tom Jones joins us now, and Tom will look forward instead of backward to the Green Bay Buccaneers NFC Championship game in Green Bay, which I got to be honest, I don't remember the Bucs winning. I think they played 6 times up there. Of consequence, they played way more than 6 times, but I mean, like, you know, various big games or whatever, and I think they won one. I remember 2 of their seasons that died in Green Bay. One was the, if you recall this, the Warren Sapp breakout game. They lost 21-7. That ended the 1997 season for Tony Dungy. They had won a game in the playoffs against Detroit at home. First home playoff game in 18 years, and then they went to Green Bay, which was in their division at the time, the NFC Norris. And they went up there, and Brett Favre did what Brett Favre does. But remember, Sapp got in Favre's face. He sacked him like 3 times. And right, one time his helmet was off, and they were going jaw to jaw and stuff. That was like, I talked to Sapp the other day. He's like, I introduced myself that day, you know, to the rest of the league. Like, that was his breakout day. Do you recall that game?
I don't. I remember the score. I do. I remember.
You don't
the
remember
score.
Those clips of Favre and Sapp?
Yeah, I do.
The
I do. Going? I do. I do remember that. It was And what and was the couple, other game?
A couple years later, 2000, not 2001, because 2001, I think it was around 2000, somewhere in there. Because the '99 season, they went to the championship against the Cardinals, St. Louis, and lost. But with someone in there, they actually went in there for a divisional playoff and would have won the game on a Martin Gramatica field goal from like 47 yards or something, and he missed.
Yes, I remember that.
He missed. And the weird thing about it was that was the year, and the reason why I want to say that it was, well, I can't remember what year it was. I think Les Steckel was the offensive coordinator for whatever it's worth. He was there 1 year. Remember the Marine Les Steckel?
Yeah.
And they had the ball. And they wanted to run clock. And, like, it started out, it was going to be like a 30-something yard field goal. Mm-hmm. And they took 2 delay of game penalties.
Wow. So like that was...
And so they moved it back. It went back, like, you know, and Sapp lost his mind. He was going up to Tony's, and what are we doing? Who does this? You're making it further away.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they went to the victory formation before they tried to kick the field goal and missed. And it went into overtime, and they lost on a field goal.
I want to ask, yeah, they lost. Now, is that the year? That was the – I want to say that was the end of the regular season.
I think they would have had home – yes, then they went to Philadelphia.
That forced them to go on the road to
Philly.
That's
right. That forced them to go to Philadelphia. So that would have been 0-1.
They got smoked.
That would have been 0-1 then. You're right. Tony's last year.
No, I think it was 2000. It was actually 2000. Let me look it up here. I actually look it up. So they lost 17-4.
Oh, is that when they got smoked 31-7?
It was Christmas Eve when they lost in Green Bay.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And then the next week they played on New Year's Eve.
Because they would have had home field advantage the next week had they won that game. And instead it put them on the road.
And they played New Year's Eve.
They would have won the division, in fact, and maybe had a bye, I think.
New Year's Eve in Philly.
That's correct.
And got blasted. Like,
yes, they did. And that was the end of Les Stuckey.
21-3, yeah.
But nothing good ever happened in Green Bay for the Bucs when I covered them back in the day when they were good, right?
Right.
They never really beat Brett Favre there. You know, they did win the division one time, but I mean... And then
Steve Young almost drowned in snow one time.
Steve Young he almost suffocated in the snowball.
I'm not laughing, but it was like
it was hilarious.
Serious.
It's in his book. He wrote about it.
Yeah,
he said, I literally couldn't breathe.
His
whole face
got tackled into a snowbank or something or on the ground. Yeah, so much snow piled
right.
up.
It was so much snow on the side, and he got piled into the ground about 100 times that day. And yeah, there was snow. He was trying to rip out of his face mask so he could breathe. And that was a classic one. So it's not going to be as bad this time. I mean, we're being told like, you know, mid-20s, 26, 27, whatever, and snow, 1 to 3 inches right now. But look, it's also not Florida. It's not the 66-degree weather, or, you know, or what a 70-degree weather we're having down here. I don't know. There's no fans. So the mystique of Lambeau isn't the same. They have some fans, but very few. I still think it's, you know, The cold weather is something, but then Brady and Gronkowski and Antonio Brown, there's a lot of guys that played in cold weather in big games. I mean, hell, Brady's best known for, you know, the Tuck Rule game, which was a blizzard.
Right. I grew up north. I lived in Minnesota for a while. Rick, I think mid-20s
That's not horrible, right?
When you're out there running around.
Like, right.
The times that when you think of, like, Green Bay, it's like, oh, the frozen tundra. I mean, it truly was like the Ice Bowl. You know, when mm-hmm. it was like 15 below, or the
you'll get single digits. They're
playing the NFC
championship
game. Yeah, with
Carolina.
The Giants. We thought Tom Coughlin was going to die on the sidelines from. He looked like Sir Edmund Hillary on top of the Mount Everest. It was
his Everest.
Like we were watching. Everybody in the world was watching. Like, oh my gosh!
Oh my god! This is not good.
Off.
Yeah,
he's like that.
I worry about BA up there. I do.
Well,
only because the elements got to him a little bit. Where were we last in Washington?
Yeah.
After that game.
That is no laughing matter. I mean, but I think as a player, I'm not worried. If the temperatures were 5 degrees, then you could say, oh, Green Bay, here we go, cold weather.
Single digits is a different deal, yeah.
Yeah, but when you're talking in the 20s, I think once people start running around, you work up a sweat even in that kind of weather. So
you grew up in that stuff, right? So is there any truth to this, that when you don't live in it, or every day. In other words, we adjust to this heat, right, which is oppressive in most of the year. And, you know, we go usually from our air-conditioned house to our air-conditioned car to an air-conditioned office or mall or whatever. But you're still living in it every day. You're still doing stuff, and you adjust to it. What I'm wondering is, if you've lived in it before, like in Brady's case, lived there and played there, but then you come to Florida. This whole notion of your blood thinning out, is that a thing?
I think it is. I think it is. I can tell you now. Now I've been here a long time. I've been here essentially since 1982, except for 3 years when I lived in Minnesota. But I can tell you there are times in Minnesota where you're outside playing with the kids or ice skating or whatever. When it is single digits and you feel perfectly comfortable because you bundle up and all that. And these days though, Rick, living down here, and it's like this last couple of days, it's been kind of chill. I guess it's been a chilly winter, I think.
It has been.
And there are days where I'm like, man, it's cold. And I feel colder now than I did when I lived up there, and it's like 15 or whatever.
But here's the thing about that, okay? Because I really don't think we're applying science here. So don't, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not Bill Nye, the science guy. I'm just saying, I don't think we dress for it here.
Oh, you're 100% right.
I think what the difference is that, like, and I've done this myself to practice 4 times already this year, where I get out of the car, it's kind of cold, I got a long sleeve shirt on or like one of those warm-up jackets or whatever, you know, because I'm rocking like, you know, I don't know. What would you like a warm-up suit, you know? Actually wearing a warm-up suit, but I'm just saying, like, you remember this. So anyway, I need a jacket, but I go out there and I go, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. And I'm like, gosh, it's freezing. It is horrible. I need a jacket. Because if you were up north and it was 50, right, 55, with the wind howling at 25 miles an hour, You'd wear a damn jacket. I promise you.
Put a hat on, yeah. It's funny. I think it was last Sunday, I think I went out to get a paper and I came in. I was like, oh, it's kind of cold out, but I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be cold. But
didn't change your wardrobe any.
Exactly. But I do wonder, Rick. So I think what we're getting to is this whole Brady thing. Is Brady going to be ready for it? Because he's already made a comment, you know, I won't be caught dead living in the Northeast again.
Right, right.
He's already, I think he'll be just fine in 20 degree weather. But, I'll be curious.
I mean, his record's like 50-9, okay, below freezing. It's not like he loses anywhere. He could play in a toaster oven or in a freeze box, and you probably wouldn't bother him, right?
Right.
But will it bother the other guys? I mean, you do have, like I said, you got a lot of guys that played up north. You got a lot of guys that played in big postseason games.
Yeah, Chris Godwin went to Penn State.
Penn State guys, and you know, all the linemen love it because they're linemen, and they don't like heat anyway.
I just think it's dumb when those guys – so it's going to happen – and we're going to see it. Like one of those guys, I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be Marpet or Donovan Smith, another Penn State guy.
Come out with
somebody's
no shirt
on. There with like no shirt on. And it's like, don't be stupid, okay? Like, put a shirt
catch
on.
Pneumonia.
Put a long sleeve. It's like, you're still a tough guy. You know, you can still block somebody.
You know, it's mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter.
Well, all I know is I don't take my shirt off when it's.
I don't take my shirt off for anybody.
Yeah, true.
Anymore.
But even when I was a kid, and I'm not taking my shirt off when it's like 10 degrees. It's just being an idiot.
No.
You're being an idiot at that point.
There should be a rule against that in the stands, too. There's always that, like, the camera pans. Oh, there he is. There's the guy.
That's because
there's the no shirt guy.
Had 12 IPAs and a.
right? He's warm on the inside from all those shots of liquor that he did in the parking lot.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this. So, okay, you have last week it was, you know, Brady against Breeze. And this was bound as inevitable. It was going to be either Breeze and Rodgers or Brady and Rodgers. But here we are, Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers. And let me tell you what I – because I did this radio show after the game the other night. Really kind of annoyed me, actually. I'm getting ready to leave. I've been there. I've had 2 hours sleep. I'm dead on my feet, and I just want to get out of the press box and then – ESPN calls and says, will you do up all night or whatever it is, you know, the show ESPN all night or whatever. So it's literally after midnight, I think, Central Time, and they're off the air at 1 or it's almost 1 a.m. Eastern. They put me on, and before they go to me, this guy goes on a rant. And I'm like, almost to the point where I hung up, it was like, he went on for like 3-4 minute rant. And it was just, you know, he's pretty much kind of trashing the GOAT a little bit. He's saying, I don't want to say he was lucky, but, you know, come on, he had a lot of luck. He's just one guy. You know, those aren't all his Super Bowls. You know, and he had some bad luck too, like David Tyree. Like, he could have won more, but you know, you can't, just because he won on those Super Bowls, he's not the greatest quarterback. You know, he's just not. Like, I'll tell you who's better, Aaron Rodgers. Then he goes, hey, you agree with me? And I was like, what? Now,
he was talking to you?
Yeah, at the end. So I would say this. I mean, there are people, and you know people, there are people that will say, my eyeball says this, like Tom Brady, arm, just okay, athleticism, not much, wins everything, like smart, accurate, just a winner. But Rodgers, have you seen him spin it? You see how beautiful of a ball he throws? He's got everything, pinpoint accuracy, mobility, little bit of cockiness, smart, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's what he doesn't have. More than one Lombardi trophy.
Exactly. He's got one.
So is that the only measure we judge? And you've been down this road with Peyton Manning and me.
Look, if we're going to argue who do you like better, Peyton Manning or John Elway, they both won two or what. One guy that we're talking about here's won six. The other guy's won one.
Yeah.
That's a major difference. And I'm not saying that, like, okay, there's guys who, like, Trent Dilfer is not a better quarterback than Dan Marino. I get that.
There you go. Right, right, right.
But when we're talking about Tom Brady winning Super Bowls, and you think about this, Rick, seriously, I'll give you Randy Moss. Like, name another, like, truly, and I'll give you Gronk. Like, name his elite receivers that he played with. It wasn't like, so I talk about this all the time, too, but. Because have you heard? I grew up in Pittsburgh, right? Followed the Steelers as a kid, and as much as I love those Steelers team, It was essentially the same Steelers team that won those four Super Bowls.
There was no free agency. It was Stallworth and Swan, yeah.
They actually had, I think there was 1 year the Steelers won the Super Bowl, one of those years, 78 or 79, something like that. They did not have one guy on their roster who had ever played for another organization. Think about that. That's amazing. No one had ever played for another organization other than the Pittsburgh Steelers. But those guys that were all on that team, from all those Hall of Famers, Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Lynn Swan, Mike Webster, John Stallworth, Jack Ham, Jack Lambert, Joe Green.
Look at you calling them out like Santa's reindeer.
Yeah. I mean, all of them. You know, Mel Blunt. Those guys were there in the Super Bowl one, and they were there in or the first Super Bowl they won, and they were there on the fourth Super Bowl. Super Bowl IX all the way through Super Bowl 14. It was the same team.
Yeah.
You look at those teams that Brady had in New England. Every year it's a different guy. Every year it's a different running back.
And not to your point, not marquee. I mean, Julian Edelman, he made into, and I give Jules all the credit in the world, but not a guy that looks like Randy Moss, right?
No.
I mean, and the proof of what you're saying is Randy Moss comes over at the end of his career, had been to like two other teams after the Vikings, and he catches 22 touchdown passes, and Brady throws 50, right?
Right.
Just because they had a Randy Moss.
And I'm not here to dump on Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is a fabulous quarterback. But this idea of, well, Brady can't really throw and he can't really run and he's, you know, he's part, he got lucky, like the Seattle game they shouldn't have won, the Super Bowl. But I agree, like, they won the games that they, I mean, at the end of the day, he's 6-3 in the Super Bowl, right? They probably deserve to win six of those games and probably deserve to lose three of them.
Yeah, maybe that's the six they won or the three they lost, but yeah.
Right, yeah. But this idea that he's not an elite quarterback or whatever, or that, you know, if I'm playing a pickup game, which guy would I rather have? That's not what this is about. We're talking
you might
about,
take Rodgers. I mean,
I might.
The eyeball test would tell you he, at his age, which is considerably younger than Brady, was he like 37, 38 years old?
Right.
That he's got, he always had better tools in his toolbox. But here's the thing that's amazing to me. Aaron Rodgers, I think he's been in the championship game three out of the last 4 years. He's never played one in Lambeau. And even more surprising to me was it's been 10 years since he won that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
10. I mean, do we really think that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to win another Super Bowl after that one?
Oh, I know.
I mean, 10 years have gone by.
And I'm not saying
he's going to be the
fault.
MVP.
When's the last time he won a championship? A championship game. It's been 10 years, right? He's 0-2,
yeah.
0 for
no,
his last
hadn't been,
three.
Yeah, he hadn't been in it.
I don't want to turn this into let's dump on Aaron Rodgers because I think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback. But this idea,
Aaron Rodgers
well,
dumps everybody else. Let's see. There was Olivia Munn. There was
Danica Patrick.
Yeah, there you go.
I just don't. I've never sort of gotten this idea of Brady. That there's any competition for Brady for GOAT among active players.
Not among
you
athletes.
And I have had this discussion. I'll listen to
we'll
Joe
throw
Montana.
Joe Montana out there and
I'll know, listen to Montana.
Because the era was different and you could hit a quarterback. You couldn't.
Right.
You know, they didn't put a dress on him or anything.
I'll listen to Johnny Unitas. That's sort of before us. Like his heyday was really truly before we could even remember. Mm-hmm. But people who were old enough to remember. Like I don't remember Jim Brown, but everybody
John
you know,
Elway?
Saw him. I'll listen. I mean, Elway is in the conversation as like top five. No, he's not the GOAT. No.
Yeah.
Like, well, the guy won six Super Bowls. I mean, this is ridiculous that we even ever discuss that there's somebody in the same level.
So, I think he's now won twice as many playoff games as Joe Montana. Twice as many.
No, I get it.
Stupid.
Different era. They're playing more playoff games. Whatever.
Yeah.
And again, this is not a
bash on
going back to my Pittsburgh days as far as like Terry Bradshaw won the first two Super Bowls they won in Pittsburgh. It was all defense. I could have quarterbacked those teams. The last two were all like Brady. It's not like he was on the Chicago Bears of the mid-80s. This is not Jim McMahon.
No, he's not a passenger. He's driving the train,
right? He's in charge of this thing. All those Super Bowls that they went to, there have been two constants. And as far as on the field as a player, there's been one. Constant.
Mm-hmm.
Him. Tom Brady. And then he leaves, and the whole organization goes down the crapper.
Well, but that's why he left. I mean,
right.
I think
that's true.
A couple things. One, you can't really blame the Patriots in the sense that, like, how many more years are we going to squeeze out of this guy? We have to move on to another quarterback. Now, I would submit to you that moving on to Cam Newton was really not a better option, okay?
No.
But that said, okay, so they decide not to bring Tom Brady back. But you see what happens when you don't have a great quarterback. And, I mean, are we going to say that Belichick forgot how to coach? You know?
Yeah, right. No.
And what he's done here, he came here because of what you're just saying. They didn't have any weapons. You know what? They still don't. And that's why they lost this year. In addition to their quarterback couldn't make chicken salad out of what was left up there.
Right. And which Brady did last Brady year. Here. I mean, but they made the playoffs last year.
They made the playoffs. Yes. And it was the only, I think it was, you know, one of the few years that he didn't at least get to the championship game.
Right.
This will be his, by the way, his 14th championship game.
Stupid.
14.
It's stupid. And again, there. I'll give you Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers does not. I don't think Aaron Rodgers has elite talent around him this year. I don't.
Well, Devontae Adams is the best receiver in football.
That. Well, there you go. Okay, you're right. But I mean, like Mark, you know, the people they have after that, and I don't think he's always had elite players around him either. I mean, he hasn't played with the type of talent that I think Manning's played with over his career.
But he wins 12, 13 a year.
And he wins it in a tough division, in a tough place. I like Aaron Rodgers. But I get tired of this argument that he's actually in the conversation for the GOAT. He's not. Nobody is. There's like three guys. And
what do you have
playing
to be
now
to be a GOAT? To be the greatest, can there be more than one? Or I always thought the GOAT meant the greatest
of
all
time,
not one of the greatest of all time.
Right.
It'd be O GOAT.
And people can sit there and say, well, if we're talking about arm strength, it's this guy. If we're talking about overall athletic ability, it's this guy. If we're talking about leadership,
GOAT means
it's
GOAT,
this guy.
Right?
Yeah, GOAT means GOAT. And up until Brady, it was Montana.
Yeah.
Who, again, we could look, Montana and Brady are so similar, it's scary in terms of. Like, well, that was the big rap on Montana. We watched those teams. Rick, you followed those teams. Can't really throw the ball. Can't really run around. Not athletically gifted. Takes his shirt off. You tell him to put it back on again. He didn't seem like some sort of athletic freak out there. All I know is every time I looked up at the end of the year, they were winning the Super Bowl.
You talking about Brady or Montana?
Talking about both of them. I was talking about Montana.
Right. No, he was a skinny kid. When he came to San Francisco, I've talked to Eddie DeBarlo about this. First day he shows up, he's skinny, and he's got this Fu Manchu mustache. And everybody thought he was the kicker. Like, nobody knew he was the freaking quarterback that they drafted out of Notre Dame. You know? And they remember them saying, like, oh, my God, look at this guy, you know? But, yeah, he wasn't physically imposing. He, like Brady, he was just found a way to win, you know.
Right.
And did it better than anybody of his era. And back then you could attack quarterbacks, and Joe got hit and got hit hard and knocked out of seasons and, you know, and things that you can't do to him now. But ironically, those two quarterbacks that are going to play on Sunday in the championship game were both fans of the 49ers. They both grew up in California.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're going to meet. It's a great matchup. It's intriguing to me. I mean, I don't know how much stock you put in the first game they played, because we've just seen that previous regular season games don't necessarily equate to postseason success, as the Saints. But they did make Rodgers look really bad, intercepting him twice. He's only had 5 all year. They only threw for 160 yards. I mean, it was after going up 10-0, it looked like it was going to be a route on for the Packers, and then the pick six, and then another interception, and then before you knew it, man, they blew him out of the gym. So does that game matter when the Bucs go up there on Sunday?
No, I don't think it does. And the reason I don't think it does is because I think both teams are different than they were then. And it seems like Green Bay has a couple of those games every year. You ever notice that? Like Green Bay?
No, they always have a stinker in there.
They just have an absolute stinker where you're like, "Hole." And usually it doesn't come against a decent team. It's usually
right.
Like, you look at them like, "Hole."
Like Atlanta
beats
them or something, you know.
But I don't know. I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock into that game. I actually think the Bucs are a better team now than they were
when they
first time.
Well, when they
play, I just think the change of scenery, what's at stake. I think you throw that stuff out. We saw last week too, Rick, that the Bucs are coming off of 2 games against the Saints, where they just looked awful, and it didn't mean a thing. So I don't think this I don't think this is going to matter at all.
Yeah.
And this whole idea, like, if Brady goes into this game as the GOAT, and Green Bay can win this game 66-0, and Brady comes out of this game still as the GOAT. And when people want to complain about it, who want to give Aaron Rodgers, like, well, I think, you know, if he beats him here, blah, blah, blah. You know what? He had other chances to play him in the Super Bowl. And Brady held up his end and got there.
That's right. Where were you?
Where was Roy? Yeah, where you were, yeah. When you were getting wiped out by Atlanta and you couldn't get past whoever to get to the San Francisco. What, you know, Brady showed up at the Super Bowl. He showed up at the Super Bowl 9 times. And a lot of them while he was playing Rodgers.
Right.
And Rodgers didn't get there, so I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, for those of us who have been stood up before, we know how that feels.
Now, having said that, I think they're going to have trouble, the Bucs, this weekend.
Oh, you do?
I do.
So, Nostradamus, you're going to call it now. You're going to say it's Packers Super Bowl against Buffalo, Kansas City?
The Chefs. I'll go with the Chefs on this one. We'll get into that.
We're a repeat of Super Bowl I.
Super Bowl I, that's right.
Here we go, Otis.
Max McGee. I think this weekend will be a little bit of a tougher go, just because I think that offense is really good. I mean, Rodgers is. He may not be the GOAT, but he might be the best playing right now.
Well, they shut him down, though. I mean, here's the thing: like they haven't been on the tundra with him. They were on the grass at Raymond James.
Right.
And Devontae Adams was held to 60 yards passing or receiving.
What did they do in that game? What did they, you know?
They got a they turned him over and then they hit him. They hit him a lot. I mean, the Packers came out on fire. They were down 10-0 within the first 5 minutes, it seemed. And then all of a sudden, Jamel Dean just jumped a route and took it to the house. And then, you know, they got another interception on some pressure after that. Punched that one in for a touchdown, and it was just on. 38 unanswered points. I've never seen anything like it. I mean,
you know what's funny? So the other day, I'm watching
Rodgers looked scared, by the way.
He did. I'm watching you. I was on Twitter, and I saw your tweet. And you tweet out that Vita Vea might be back. And I'm like, Vita Vea? I forgot all about that guy. You know what it reminded me of? It was like, you ever watch the old Scooby?
So did the B-Rider.
You ever watch Scooby-Doo, like when you were a kid? And at the end, they pull the mask off. Like, who is it? Like, oh, and it's like a guy you completely, who was at the beginning of the episode, you completely, oh, yeah, that guy. That's the way I felt about Vita Vea. Like, I completely forgot Vita Vea was on his team. I had no idea.
That's right. And I could have gotten away with it, too. I wonder if you meddling kids.
Exactly. And I was like, oh, yeah, that guy was in the first minute of the show. Right. I completely forgot Vita Vea was on the team. And completely erased from my memory. It was almost like a Twilight Zone moment. Can he play? I mean, is he going to be...
I don't know. Like
effective?
This to me, this is like a fever dream. You ever have a fever dream, right? Where you're like,
yeah, where you thought you won the lottery and you wake up and you're like,
yeah, like
shoot,
you go to bed, you're sick and you're burning up, right? And you just that's when the higher the fever, the weirder the dream, kind of thing. You know, like you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Nothing really makes sense, and all of a sudden, yeah, like Vita Vea was playing, and like he played in the championship, but like I saw his leg snap like Joe Theismann's, like. What the? Yeah, that could never happen. I must have had a fever.
Right.
He's back. Like, and not just back. Like, because my thing, you got 21 days, right? Well, 21 days, the Super Bowl's over. You got 21 days to put him on your roster once you recall him, you know, from IR. And it wasn't just like, yeah, designated for return from injury reserve. It was, I think you'll probably play Sunday. Like, what? Wait, what? What? Wait, what? How is that possible? The bone's healed, I'm sure, or you wouldn't put him out there, I'm sure. But if he's, and it's like, no, man, guy's been working hard with trainers and all that stuff. We didn't see him. You know what? This is a move the line in Las Vegas type acquisition, I think.
I can't imagine. I mean, you know, if he plays 25 snaps.
Okay.
20 snaps or whatever. That's
okay.
You know, that's
every first down when you try to run the ball. Like they've run the heck out of the ball the last few weeks.
Right. I'd like to see it. I'm looking forward to again. I forgot he was on the team, and it's exciting when they said he was coming back. I still don't think that offense, boy, is really good. Green Bay's offense is good, and I do think the Bucs are going to have to play a little better defensively than they did last week, even though they had the 3 turnovers and everything. There were some moments. They're not going to be able to get away with some of the stuff they got away with last week.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, if Rodgers is denied his seat, you know, among the great quarterbacks of all times because Brady beats him again, you know, not again, but beats him.
Right.
And blocks his path to the Super Bowl. It's going to be hard on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it just is. And Brady, the thing about Brady is, like, he's feeling himself too. Like, there is definitely a sort of, even for him, because everybody will tell you that, no, he prepares the same way. He's always up on the bit. He's always on it. I get that. But there's got to be a switch that he flips, man. You know, he's got to have that chip on his shoulder somewhere. And every now and then it'll pop up. Like, you'll see it. After he scored, by the way, he's a great social media team. Whoever does, I'm assuming he doesn't do it himself. But did you see the sort of the meme he posted him after he scored the touchdown, high-fiving people, and he tries to high-five the ref? And the ref just kind of stands there and looks at him.
I saw the I was actually shocked that he did that.
It was funny, though.
It was hilarious, and I thought, I can't believe that he, like, is having this light moment. The ultra competitor. Like,
yeah.
Actually, because you can even tell he thought, like, this is funny. Like, watch this.
He has a real self-deprecating sense of humor. He really does.
It was great.
And the reason why I thought I'd bring it up is that when he did it, he also went on Instagram and then did sort of a music bet over it and played the Righteous Brothers. You've got that. You've lost that loving feeling. Have you seen this? It's hysterical.
That's awesome.
Oh my God, it's great. He's walking. You never close your eyes, and he's actually got the Righteous Brothers black and white film interspersed in there.
That's great.
It's a tremendous, tremendous thing, you know, and which got me to thinking, like, where's that damn Maverick movie? Like, weren't we promised another Top Gun?
You're not Top Gun. I thought so.
It was supposed to come out
put
last
on hold
pandemic.
For the pandemic, yeah, because they closed theaters. So it was supposed to come out this past summer.
We're still waiting on a James Bond movie too, right? That's the other one.
I think so.
Put on hold because of COVID.
But
I don't think I need to see. Is there going to be another volleyball scene?
the gratuitous volleyball scene made no sense at all.
It just dropped it in the middle. Let's let them play volleyball on the beach in jeans and
they were sweaty though. They were sweaty. Yeah, it made no sense.
Cruz and Kilmer, whatever. What are you doing? Anyway.
I'm guessing Val Kilmer's. The way I've seen some of the pictures I've seen of him, I don't think he's making it back.
Well, it's amazing that Cruz, I mean, I think we were talking about this the other day, where, and I think this made all the rounds. Like, Cruz is older now than Wilford Brimley was when he made Cocoon.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Wilford Brimley doing commercials about diabetes.
Well, it's like that Brady-George Blanda comparison of 43-year-olds in the court and playing
with the
football.
Heater. Yeah.
Exactly.
But those guys didn't eat avocado ice cream. I mean, they smoked three packs of Pall Mall and drank Schlitz all day.
What's Cruz doing? What's Cruz doing?
At halftime.
Cruz is doing something, too. So.
Well, yeah.
He's doing another Mission Impossible.
He is. Mission Impossible 7. By the way, those are all great, by the way. I love
Which
them.
Makes it not so impossible, if you think about it. I mean, you're missing. Should you
really,
choose to accept it, this will dissolve.
Really hard.
And,
it's right. Mission you're going to have to put in some work. How about that? Yeah. Mission Impossible. It's not so impossible. But. Right.
This mission is a prequel. It's a, yeah.
It's improbable, maybe. I think you can do it.
Highly difficult. Highly difficult.
Exactly.
That's so impossible for a 55-year-old man that could have been, like, played Cocoon.
That's
and
Wilford, impossible. Yeah,
Wilford
that's
Brimley.
Can you imagine Wilford Brimley like being
as Mr. No, you know the movie. Remember the movie that Wilford Brimley played the security guard, like not the security guard, but the security guy. It was it was a Tom Cruise movie.
The Firm.
The lawyer, the firm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Wilford Brimley, there you go. They were about the same age, but no, at that time they weren't. But Brimley was the head of security for that law firm, and they were trying to kill him, and he was personally trying to kill him. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this guy's way too old to be chasing Tom Cruise through Memphis.
Remember,
I mean,
we were watching when we were kids, like Cannon. That guy weighed like 300 pounds. And he was
big,
a cop.
Fat guy, right?
Yeah.
Hal Ironside, Raymond Burr was in a wheelchair, and was
Barnaby Jones,
people.
Who was like, this was like 10 years after Beverly Hillbillies. I was 90 years
Barnaby
old.
Barnaby Jones,
yeah.
Yeah, if the hillbilly went to law school, this is what he would be. He'd come out Barnaby Jones.
So who wins who wins the AFC championship this week?
You know, I've kind of, I'm on the Buffalo wagon. You've been on because no one circles wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
You were on them before the season, before the playoff season started. You were on there.
Yeah, I really like their coach, and I really like their defense, and their quarterback has gone off, right? After he got Stephon Diggs, which goes to show you, right, that, you know, kind of like the Deshaun Watson stuff they're dealing with now. We talked about Brady, but, like, the difference in Josh Allen with Stephon, it's not an accident, folks.
No, I know.
You get a guy that can make plays for you, and your confidence just starts to soar, and that's all sports is. But Josh Allen, man.
You know what I found interesting is when Kansas City won it all last year, and at the start of this year, we were – and I still believe Kansas City is going to win the whole thing. But at the start of the year, there were – how many is Mahomes going to win? He's the greatest, right? He's going to be the GOAT.
You're
going to
win
like five.
He could be the next
like
GOAT.
Five or six,
he's
right?
going to challenge Brady. Yeah.
And all it takes is one hit, and yes. all of a sudden, everything just goes up in smoke.
And you realize that you really do have to be really lucky in football. I mean, you just do.
They were one possession away. And let's face it, Chad Henne. They were one Chad Henne 15-yard run away from maybe Cleveland beating them. Cleveland, by the way, which nearly lost the last game of the season to a Pittsburgh team that was playing their backups that would have knocked them out of the playoffs.
Right.
It just shows you how precarious this whole thing is.
It really is fragile, yeah.
And for us to sit here and say, oh, Mahomes, he might win five or six, is you never know what the next game holds in store.
Well, you can't anticipate injuries, but you have to put the disclaimer, if he stays healthy,
it's the NFL. Everybody gets hurt. You know, imagine how the whole NFC changed this year when Dak Prescott tore his leg up. I don't know, maybe not at all. I mean, they were bad before that, but who knows? Like, goes to show you that one injury can just, up to a quarterback. A year ago, the Steelers went 7-9 or 8 with Mason Rudolph. Imagine if Ben Roethlisberger played a year ago. That doesn't mean they're going to win, but it means somebody who made the playoffs might not win.
Right.
It's just every year something happens. If I'd have told you 2 years ago, Houston, I mean, they were a perennial playoff team. That organization is a disaster. It's a dumpster fire now. Quarterback doesn't want to be there. The GM situation got all messed up.
Right.
He wants out.
They won't interview who they asked him, who he wanted.
Like, who wants to coach that team? Somebody's going to take the job, obviously, but I don't know that I want that job. Not even knowing if my quarterback's going to be Deshaun Watson.
Quarterback's leaving because he controls that basically as a no-trade clause, and if he doesn't want to play there, they're going to have to do something. And I, what's worse, this was a question that was asked, like, would you rather be the Chicago Bears, who stupidly traded up for Mitch Trubisky and left Patrick Mahomes to whomever? What's the biggest fail, them not drafting him, or
Texans?
Yeah, I said Patrick Mahomes. I meant Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, yeah.
The Texans having Deshaun Watson, right, and deciding they can't make it work. Like, what? You have the piece that everybody wants. The guy's led the NFL in passing and with nobody and has done it efficiently, not throwing interceptions, you know, yards out the wazoo. You have the guy and can't make that work.
Right. I'd rather be the Bears at this point. Because I made the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
The rest of that team's decent.
I mean, anybody can miss on a player, but when you have the guy in the building, like you were the one that got him.
Right.
The other teams, that happens all the time, right?
Right.
Somebody passed on Brady until 199.
Right.
So, that it sucks, but it happens. But to have the guy, like, and he's not just a guy, like he's a good guy. He's a good dude. He's a champion. He's won everywhere he's been, and you can't make that work.
That's what I'm saying. Like you can sit there, Rick, and you can plan. I'm sure the Indianapolis Colts 2 years ago thought our quarterback situation, or 3 years ago quarterback situation, we're set for the next
for
10
years. Yeah, Andrew Luck.
And Andrew Luck doesn't even play anymore.
I'm out.
I quit.
Wait, what?
Yeah. If I'd have told you 2 years ago, Carson Wentz would be persona non grata in Philadelphia.
Wouldn't believe you. He threw 33 touchdowns, and we all felt bad that he got hurt before the Super Bowl because, you know, here's the thing about that situation. At Philadelphia, outside Lincoln Financial, there's a couple of statues that are fairly new. You know who they are of?
Yeah.
Nick Foles and Doug Peterson. And you got rid of both of them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You know? You turn around. Who would RG3 was going to be the next best thing.
Yeah.
2 years later, not even with the team anymore.
You know what NFL stands for, Tommy?
Not for long.
Not for long, buddy.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. Like, so we can sit here and talk about, oh, this team's set. Jimmy Garoppolo, that team was also. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be San Francisco. They're going to be in great shape for the next 10 years.
Right.
Jared Goff. Oh, what a superstar. They're trying to move on from him in the worst way.
Yeah.
It's just.
And then you have Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
Tom Brady just, and Aaron Rodgers. They just keep winning every year. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be fascinating. So who do you like, the Bills or you like the Chiefs, right?
I like the Chiefs. Yeah. Assuming Mahomes plays. I don't think the Bills are quite there yet. I haven't been crazy about the way they've been playing lately, but.
I think they're really good. I think they're giving them everything. I can definitely see, you know, Kansas City pulling it out. You know, if Mahomes has the ball last or whatever, I mean, that could happen. But, I mean, for Buffalo fan to make it to a Super Bowl, my goodness.
If it would have been Buffalo and Cleveland in the AFC Championship game,
geez.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, at about.
They would have closed Lake Erie. Lake Erie would have been closed now.
Oh, yeah. In about, let's see, I'd say about 10 o'clock on Sunday night, Scott Norwood's phone's going to start ringing off the hook.
If Buffalo makes a Super Bowl in Tampa?
Yeah, you think anybody will call him? Like they do every year, but I'm just saying, poor guy.
Oh, I know. That's the first thing I thought of the other day.
What's the under-over on Whitney Houston National Anthems and Scott Norwood's miss
Buffalo,
kick?
Yeah, if Buffalo gets here, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, it's going to be incredible. So who you got? Who you like in the Bucks? The Bucks Packers. You were wrong last week.
Well, I was wrong last week, so I'll be wrong again this week. I'm gonna go Packers. I do think it'll be tight. I do think it'll be a good game, but I worry a little bit about the Bucks defense won't be able to stop them enough.
And see,
they're not gonna get three interceptions, but they need one or two.
Mm-hmm. Turnovers would be big. I'm of the belief that you're right. Rodgers will definitely threaten them and attack that secondary a lot more than Drew Brees ever thought of. However, they like to run the football and have been more run-centric of late, and I think that plays right into the Bucs' hands. And you're going to give me Vita Vea for 25 snaps? I kind of like where the defense is at right now, you know?
Right.
If they can cover up those receivers, I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is just going to sit there and run around all day.
I think the Bucks will be in the game. The Packers are never one of those teams, really. If they're an odd team, they never like run away and hide from anybody.
That's true.
It seems like there's always a moment, like in the second half, even when they're playing well, where it's like this game feels like it's getting away from Rodgers a little bit here. Like,
right?
It's a weird thing.
And that, as the game wears on, they'll have their own history to have that'll become, you know, sort of their albatross, like it did in New Orleans. I mean. You know, they desperately want to go. And he's had the best year, says he's at peace with himself, does the, you know, was it the Pat McAfee show every week or whatever? So, hey, Raj,
go
get yourself an insurance
commercial,
big guy.
Pat McAfee and Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah. Yeah, they hang out.
He goes in that room, boy. Ooh.
Huh?
Those guys are, they're confident people, both of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they don't
lack. Pat McAfee and Aaron Rodgers.
Rodgers, I mean, you can't wipe the smirk off his face. I would think that if you competed against him, you'd just love to beat him. You know what I mean?
He's one of those guys, like, I wish I was him. He seems like he is Mr. Cool. He really is.
A little too cool for school, though, don't you think?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but.
I mean, he's really smug. He's not cool. He passed cool a long time ago. He went straight to smug.
Brady's a little bit like that, though, no? I mean, this is the smug championship game.
Yeah, I mean, Brady is kind of the laser-focused guy, you know. You don't see the smirk from Brady until the game is over. You know, Rodgers will throw the smirk at, like, a bad call. You know what I mean? Like, who are you? Oh, you call that a me? You call that a me?
I take him. I like him. I think he's. I don't think he's as good a quarterback as everybody loves to put. Like, I don't think his career.
I think he's exceptional.
I don't think his career. I think his career has been a little disappointing. The one Super Bowl thing is a little weird to me.
The 10 years without one is a little weird.
Seems
to me.
Like he should have won.
How could he be in his prime that many years after winning a Super Bowl and not get back? That's the question I have.
He's only
like,
been to one, right? Not only just as he went to one and won it.
I know, but 10 years of his best years after winning it, nothing happened.
He's 37 years old. He's been to one Super Bowl. I mean, yeah. That's just...
There's something wrong there.
Yeah, just there's something. Yeah, and I don't blame it at all on him. It's more than one guy. But
so there's going to be a lot of pressure. We know Brady feels the pressure. His clock's ticking pretty loud. But if you're Aaron Rodgers and you got the game at Lambeau, I'm telling you, man, if you drag these teams much like the Bucs did at the Saints into the fourth quarter and it's still in the balance, the game is get a little tighter up there in the snow, man. Like it's like. At some point, it's going to be like, are we going to lose this? Because there's so many, like, everything is set. I've had my best year. We're at Lambeau. It's snowing. The brats are on. I can smell them outside, you know.
It's your game to win or lose. It's your game.
Yeah, but
you're supposed
your
to
game.
Win that game.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you want to be, you know, compared to the greats, then you got to do what the greats do.
Right.
And I'm not sure they will, so. Hey, what's going on at pointer.org these days?
Well, we got everything, man.
The inauguration.
Next administration. Yeah. COVID.
I miss the pageants. I miss the dancing, the balls, right? They have the big brouhaha after
yeah,
the
now
game.
Now we're taping this, just to be fair, in case something like
yeah,
really
before,
goes
but, yeah, well, yeah, good point. Yeah, if the Capitol is under siege,
yeah,
disregard
fire,
this part of the podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, I was going to make a prediction, but I won't.
There's a lot of pomp and circumstance, but not as much pomp and plenty of circumstance this time. So,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right. It's okay. I'm still on that line.
Hey, man, do whatever you want.
Did you just make that up? That's pretty good.
No.
Man.
I'm sure I've used it 4 or 5 times before.
I've recycled lines before. You know what my favorite recycled line is? I probably used it, let's say, 2 or 3 times in my career.
Which means 5 or 6 times.
When a hockey team is in trouble in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I would say they got 1 foot on a grave and another on a banana peel. I always thought that I thought of that like 20 years ago, and I've used it like 3 times since then. You know, another line that we used to make fun of, like, some people's leads, and somebody kept this lead around. And you're not, it's such a cliche. It was like the best of times, it was the worst of times. You know, that was sort of like sports writers make fun of people who say something like that. But one time I read this guy wrote about a high school basketball game. He said it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, it was 7 overtimes. I thought that was brilliant. I thought it was so funny.
That's not bad. I mean,
somebody thought
I knew
it was
a guy. This is a true story. When I first started working at the Times, I won't say the name, but you guys can follow my career. When I first started working at the Times, there's a guy I worked with, and I, you know, we'd read each other's stories or whatever, and it's like, this story on Bobby Bowden or something like that. He's like, the smile on his face said it all. And then the story went on from there. Obviously happy about something, right?
Right.
So then later, reading a story about Clearwater High School basketball coach, the smile on his face said it all. After a while, I didn't have to read anything because the smile really did say it all.
That's it.
That was it. That was the lead that just kept giving.
Our good buddy Martin Fenley, because, you know, like, there were all famous stories. It was a dark and stormy night, and Martin Fenley one time started his column with, it was a dark and stormy night, which has nothing to do with this story because this happens on a bright Sunday morning, you know.
Just threw it out there, right?
Just threw it out there just for the
fun. One of the best leads I wrote, it was just kind of popped in my head. It's an old song, folk song or whatever. I've told this story before. So the Bucks. This was Ray Perkins, the first year I covered the Bucks. His last year, as it turns out. It was an unbelievable draft, right? Junior Seau was coming out. They were picking 5th, I think. Deion Sanders was in that draft. It was stupid, right? All these Hall of Famers. And, of course, he wanted to take his guy. And I actually wrote that he was going to take this guy before he did, because I was standing outside his office when he was talking to his owner about it. I hadn't been on the beat more than a couple months, and he goes, come on in the office. So like he had an office where the secretary was, and then there was a door at the old One Buck Shack, right, the palace over there, before they built the new one. And I could hear him talking to Hugh Culverhouse or whatever, and yeah, I'm gonna take him. I know him. We're gonna play him at linebacker. Yeah, he played for me. Alabama. So it was clearly McCants, right? So I'm writing this down. So coach, yeah, that's what we're gonna do. So I had the scoop. They were gonna take McCants. Everybody had him penciled for McCants, whatever. And they took him. But not only did they take him, he had like 20 tackles in the Iron Bowl that year. I mean, the guy was a phenomenal college player. Phenomenal. And they, at that time, ran a 3-4, so they're going to play him an outside linebacker. Well, before he came to Tampa, after they draft him, they draft the guy 5 overall, has his press conference, and before he makes it to Tampa, he had like a little bit of a knee injury from the Iron Bowl. And they made him go get it scoped. They made him go do knee surgery, like minor knee surgery, but knee surgery nonetheless. So at the introductory press conference, right, the guy shows up on crutches. It was just bizarre, right?
Right.
Like you drafted a guy and he's coming to camp on crutches. Like he's showing up at his press conference in crutches. So my lead was he came from Alabama with a bandage on his knee.
That's pretty good.
So the old Susanna song, right? Yeah, old Susanna. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So I was proud of that one, but I would not too many others, I might say.
There you go.
Anyway, okay, so we'll get through the inauguration with you. We'll check you out on pointer.org, and you are picking the Green Bay Packers against the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl double nickel.
Right. And so when I'm on the podcast next week, we'll talk about the Bucks and the Bills. Who's going to win that one?
Seriously, though, man, if the Bucks were to win it, okay, you already said it, like, I think in the last podcast, like, this would rank, where would this rank? Let's say they win it all. Let's say Tom Brady, the confetti falls
greatest
on his head.
Tampa Bay story ever, sports.
Right?
No question.
And
not
one
even
of,
close.
I mean, what is this rival in all of sports, right? Like, what, this isn't, who's
this
done
is,
this?
Tiger. Winning the Masters.
This is Tiger winning the Masters at
Jack
2 years
winning
ago.
At 80, winning at 86.
Yeah, yeah. It's in that realm.
It's not. I mean, it's not quite Miracle on Ice.
No, which, it's not Lake Placid. I would get you that. Yeah,
you know, which is still, I think, the greatest sporting moment ever in our country's history.
But it's going to rank in the top five, right?
Yeah, Brady. It'll be the. It would be. Yeah, come on, Tom Brady leads the New England Patriots.
The Cubs win the World Series. I'm just
Cubs.
Trying to
that
think.
Would go Cubs. Red Sox.
Yeah.
In 2004.
Right.
But again, those teams were sort of building up to this. Came out of nowhere, Rick. It came
it really,
out of nowhere.
Literally, it did. Yeah.
A year ago, it wasn't a possibility.
I was at the Super Bowl almost a year ago. No, 2 weeks from now, whatever. And I can remember talking to one of the coaches. I think it was Clyde. And they were saying, we're sitting here doing free agent reports on who the free agent quarterbacks could be. And remember, the list was absurd, right? It was like Philip Rivers, Tom Brady, Teddy Bridgewater, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, there were all these guys.
Jameis was still in the mix, possibly.
Yeah, there was just Jameis Winston. You know, like, there were all these free agents. And you're thinking, yeah, well, you're wasting your time with the Brady guy. You know, like, there's just no way. Like, really, Tampa? I mean, you know.
The odds of him leaving New England seemed, like, next to none.
They seemed remote at best, right?
And then... him the idea that he would come to Tampa Bay.
Because we can't have nice things, Tom. Nobody comes here.
No.
I mean, I went through this. Tampa Bay, as you know, especially the Bucks, they were the home of the runaway bride for every Coach Parcells did it twice. He was at the altar. He left them at the altar. Back with Culverhouse and with the Glazers. Right?
Right.
Brett Favre was going to be traded to here or the Jets. Where do you think he went?
Right.
The Jets. There was always going to be this next guy, right? The big story, like they're going to nab the big fish. Moby Dick is right around it. And then I just said, there's no way. This is stupid. And then they did it. And here he is. And if
these guys
out,
don't come here. Steve Young goes there. Bo right. Jackson goes there.
Right. Right.
Tom Brady doesn't come here.
No.
It doesn't make sense.
Makes no sense. And yet it happened.
And if he were to take them to a Super Bowl, and as much as we could sit there and say, oh, Super Bowl or bust, to actually see it, if it would happen, it would be the greatest sports story in Tampa Bay sports history. With that, not even close.
I wrote a story.
I was there. I was at Game 6 in Calgary when Marty St. Louis scored. And the Lightning won the bigger? Stanley Cup. This is bigger than that. Mm-hmm. This is bigger than the Bucks winning the first Super Bowl, even though like them winning that Super Bowl was a big deal. Like, you were there. You were there. Like, the perennial losers winning a Super Bowl. That's amazing.
Oh, it was enormous. John right. Gruden's first year against his former team. Come on, you can't make that up.
And I wasn't here, but I know it was a bit for people who've lived in Tampa Bay all their lives and are of a certain age. Them just making the NFC Championship game in 79 was a
huge deal. Really,
you were
big
here.
Deal.
You were here then. I mean, you were a kid.
Yeah, I was a kid.
But but you remember, it was amazing. It just seemed like a couple of months earlier they were 0-26.
Right. It was the third. It was there. Yeah, they came in 76. They lost 26 in a row. And then by 79, they were in the championship. They were
right. They were touchdown and a field goal from winning the going to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
They lost
9-0.
9-0. That was a big deal. The Rays making the World Series in 2008, out of nowhere. That was a really big deal.
Out of nowhere. That was huge.
But this, are you kidding me? Brady makes it. I'm telling you, Rick, you and I were talking about this. We've been trying to say goodbye on this podcast for
so I am with my girlfriends, too.
We were talking
about I'm just kidding. I love a kid because I love.
Can't break up with him. So, so look, Rick, we were talking about this the other day. Is we've both been in this market a really long time, and we were never called to do national shows. You would never see the Bucks on being discussed on NFL Live, other than maybe somebody got fired or who they're going to hire next,
right?
Or if Jameis did something stupid, it was never like when I say something stupid, like no, he off the field, but like on the field throwing a bunch of interceptions or. They were never part of the conversation, the national conversation.
They weren't relevant, Tom. They were irrelevant. They were an irrelevant franchise.
Get up every day. I watch Colin Cowherd every day during lunch while I'm eating my lunch at home. I watch a little bit of First Take. I watch a little bit. Yeah, all these shows, Rick, there's a segment about Brady on all of them.
Every one of them, yeah.
A segment. And it's a different segment every day. And it's the same segment every day. You know, but it's just about Brady. And I come to realize it's like they're not talking about Brady for the first time. They've been talking about Brady for 20 years. But now he's here.
Right.
And now that franchise is relevant.
It's relevant. And the thing that you realize, I've covered a lot of Super Bowls. And even for me, knowing I was going to a Super Bowl and the Bucks obviously were rarely ever, never in it, I would always say, okay, I've done all the. I can't not Brady again. Please, please, please don't give us Brady. Because I've done so many Super Bowls with the Patriots. I can't make that interesting. Give me fresh blood. Give me new meat. Give me something. And now that he's here, and the Brady fatigue around the country is the same, right? You think the rest of the country is saying, "Hey, it'd be cool if Tom Brady could go to this"? No, they don't want to see Tom Brady.
I don't know though. Do you think so? I almost. Think
I mean, you
the
think it's,
idea
it's
that
novelty
he would take...
because he's not with the Patriots, and so that makes it like, how does it feel now?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a.
He's more lovable because he's with the Bucs?
Yeah, it's lovable that he's not with New England anymore. There's a little bit of a screw you, New England, to this.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's also, who doesn't want to see him pulled off? I got tired of watching Tiger Woods win every year.
Yeah.
Winning a Masters every year, winning the U.S. Open, and being number one.
But when he got knocked down, you were rooting
for him. I was at the tournament up in Innsbruck a couple years ago when he was making his comeback.
Oh, he was there, yeah.
And I'm like, how could you not be pulling for this guy? This is an amazing story. And then he goes on to win the Masters the year after that. Of the four matchups, of the four possibilities that we could have in the Super Bowl,
right?
I think Kansas City and Tampa Bay is the best.
That's the best one.
And the second best matchup is Buffalo and Tampa Bay. In fact, Buffalo Tampa Bay might actually be the best matchup. Considering
over Mahomes rematch with Mahomes game that they
I
kind of
like
lost
the idea
of
Buffalo coming back to Tampa. Buffalo.
Well,
versus,
there's the historical part of it,
And Brady has just owned Buffalo. I mean, it's a chance for Buffalo.
Oh, I didn't even
think
of that. Yeah, he doesn't lose to Buffalo.
Right. I mean, but
I'll
Buffalo
put it in the
love.
Bag if Buffalo wins the AFC. This thing is over.
Right. And so I think that's fat. Now, maybe I'm looking at this through sort of Tampa Bay lens, but
it's a good story if they're here.
I think it's a tremendous story. And I think the rest of the country would like it.
And in a pandemic year, here's what's interesting about it to me. in a pandemic year where you're not anticipating a lot of fan base coming from anywhere to do anything, because who can go anywhere? It would be uniquely an all-Tampa Super Bowl. In other words, you know, NFL experience, whatever the league is offering, those piecemeal deals outside that you can sort of pretend you're at a Super Bowl, it certainly would spice it up. Maybe not economically, but it certainly would spice it up if their own team were playing.
Yeah.
You know, that would just that's just never been done. So it would be really, really interesting if they did that. All right, Tommy, we'll see what happens, man. I'm not going to make a prediction yet. I will. You'll have to check out me on TampaBay.com or one of my podcasts later this week. I'm sure we'll talk about it with Joey Knight on Thursday. In the meantime, enjoy all the newsletters and politics and things that you do, the coverage of – hey, a lot – I wanted to say before I let you go about that, some of these networks, is this routine when administrations leave, there's all these different promotions and changes of beats? Is this what happens?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the, like we saw the Washington Post just changed a bunch of people, ABC News. And what
CNN
do you, what,
did, too.
Yeah, what typically happens is the people who have been covering the White House for 4 years just need off.
Dead.
Especially after covering this White House. I mean, it's just...
They're going home to write a book, take about 7 months
it's
off.
Just I saw Maggie Haberman from the New York Times the other day, and she's just like, there's always this dreaded feeling of what is next. Like, she's afraid. She said, I was afraid to go to bed. Like, it was basically like, she got no sleep. And there was this impending doom of what's next, what's upcoming.
Right.
Something's about to happen. But also, too, what usually happens, you'll see, is you've had people on the campaign trail who covered Biden.
That's right.
And so they
assume the White House duties, right?
So they formed relationships with Biden's staff.
And
that's what happened. I mean, that's how Maggie Haberman eventually became covering Trump. You know, because she covered Trump before that. So,
those are your sources.
Yeah, exactly. So that's usually why that happens.
Well, we'll check you out on pointer.org. Thanks for a couple of great days, a couple of great podcasts, Tommy. We'll talk to you.
All right. Talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks to Tom. Hey, the Lightning return to action tonight, finally, against Columbus. That game is in Ohio. And we'll break down the NFC Championship game between the Bucks and the Packers with Joey Knight of the Tampa Bay Times. Hey, folks, if you're looking for some party platters, please call Mr. Empanada. It's just one of the best foods you could have. Just take your favorite food. They place them inside this pocket of homemade dough. It's cooked perfectly until it's golden brown. I mean, it's delicious. And you can order other delicious menu items from Mr. Empanada, including soup, salads, and Cuban sandwiches. Just go online at MrEmpanada.com or call any one of their 7 convenient locations in Tampa Bay, where Latin food, quality, and service all meet. It's Mr. Empanada. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.